Any of you see the North Side Bargain Book this week? Or the South Side Reporter? Did the South Side Reporter have the ad in it? What did it look like? Good. Look good? Should have been 10 inches long. Okay. Should have been 10 inches long. All right. If one of you'd bring me one of them, I'd like to see it. I'd appreciate it. Look in the book of Genesis. Now, this next week, it should be in the 5 base papers. Same ad. Should be in the Patriot, Lackland, Tailspinner, all of the 5 different base papers that they publish. So look in them, see if you can find one of them there. The 23rd chapter of Genesis. That's a lot of tracts put out. Verse 9, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Verse 15, my Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. That is, but what is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom today. Help us to understand your word. We do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that's in it. And for salvation, we know that we can find the truth about our eternal souls and destiny right here. We thank you for the word of God. Give me a freedom and ease to speak, Lord, and suit a blessing to everybody here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got to thinking about life, this life and eternal life. I got to think about the value of so many different things. You know, everything's valuable. Dirt's valuable. I mean, old Jeff had him a place with just a bunch of dirt. And people started buying that dirt for good money. Now he's got a ranch because he had some dirt. I had a place on a river and had great gravel bar, and they offered me quite a bit of money for the gravel bar. But I didn't want them messing up the rest of my place, so I never gave them the gravel bar. My sister had the same opportunity. Everything has a value. Now here is Abraham. His wife Sarah has died at 127 years of age, and he goes to the people of the land. Abraham was a very, very rich man, but he didn't own any land. An amazing thing? A very rich man, but he didn't own any land. Some of you own more land than Abraham owned it at 135 years old. So he goes to these people and he said, I want that land over there. They said, we'll give it to you. The guy was very generous. Why? You're a great prince among us. Why, we wouldn't withhold anything from you. You want the field? Take the field. I got plenty of fields. He said, no. It's got a worth. Did you notice that word? For as much money as it is worth. Much money as it is worth. You may go down to try to buy a new car today, and you may think, they're not worth that much. Any of you thought that? Is it that the cars aren't worth as much, or your money's not worth as much? Some of you economists would understand it's the value of your money, not the value of the car. Your money's trash now. That's what it is. Dale one time was down in Mexico, and he was going up to the bank. He had his money in the bank. And the guy right before him got, say, 12 pesos per American dollar. And Dale stepped up there, and he got half. They just came and changed the value of the money in the line. There's still people in that line right here. Boom. That's where it stopped. Oh, he was furious. Oh, he argued with the bank teller. Bank teller couldn't do a thing about it. His money wasn't worth as much. In fact, his money was worth half what it was. They tell me that after World War II in Germany, that you'd take a wheelbarrow load of dollars or marks to buy a loaf of bread. Money wasn't worth anything. Got any Confederate bills? Yeah, I had some. I don't know if they're still there or not. I had some Confederate bills. $100 bills, $1,000 bills. They're not worth much. There are no Confederate States of America, no bank to back them. What is something worth? What is this life worth? Now, certainly things are valuable. Abraham needed a place to bury his wife. And so he went to this man and said, I want that field, I want that cave, and that's going to be my burying place. I'll buy it. I'll give you what it's worth in money. And the man offered to give it to him. He said, no, I'll buy it. He said, well, it's worth 400 shekels of silver. What's that between me and you? Bury your dead. And he counted out and weighed him out his 400 shekels of silver. And that became the burying place of his wife and Abraham's land. And his land was there to bury his wife. And he's buried there. And others on down the line, it's in the place called Hebron in the Bible today. Now, I just thought about our life, and I guess I was philosophizing a little bit about the worth of different things and how we set our priorities on some things that really aren't worth as much. Isn't it amazing how you can think something so valuable and you have to have it, and in a year's time, you wonder why you bought it?
Right.
Yeah. Any of you have that problem? Man, I'm a spontaneous buyer. I don't have to plan to buy anything. All I got to do is walk and see somebody's got it for sale. It's a bargain. I don't need it. I got a drawer full of it at the house, but it's a bargain. I don't know where I'm going to put it, but it's a bargain. Right? Sometimes we don't have our values really fixed on what's valuable. Sang about the Word of God. The Word of God's valuable.
Amen.
But you know, most people don't think so. Walk out on the streets of San Antonio. Talk to people about the Bible. Ask them when the last time they read it. Ask them what they know about it. And you'll find out how valuable it is to them. Not very valuable. Not very valuable. Jesus made several statements. A few things are compared. Look in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? That's God. The only person that can destroy your soul in hell is God. So he's saying, don't fear men, fear God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Now you eat dove, quail. It's dove season right now, isn't it? All right, they're out there with those 410s and 12 gauge and 20 gauge, and they're popping those dove around, and boy, one good fat one will make about one bite.
Yeah.
And if you hit it too solid with your 12 gauge, all you got's a few feathers. And you know, they're a lot bigger than sparrows. He said, two sparrows sold for a farthing. Very cheap. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. God sees every bird that falls. And in fact, it says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And he has to change his count every day, even with my hair like this. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. How valuable is a sparrow? How valuable is a whale? Seen these bumper stickers, save a whale, kill a child. Kill a child, save a whale. A lot of people are doing that. How valuable are two sparrows? Well, they're valuable enough for God to notice them. Because God says you ain't going to kill one of them without his permission, without his giving you the opportunity. And not a one of them falls to the ground without God seeing it, knowing it. But he said, don't be very fearful. And that's one of the things he's trying to tell, not to fear men, in this passage right here, you are of more value than many sparrows. Some things are more valuable than others. All things are valuable. Everything I know of in the world is valuable. Dirt is valuable. Drive out there by my house, and there's some people on the places you can see by the roads, and they've got bulldozers out there, and they're digging up. Why? Because there's rock underneath there. And in fact, there's a place, a yard out there just past Bernie. He's got a couple of $1 million worth of rock just sitting out there ready to sell to you. Just drive up there, pick your rock out, and they'll load it up for you and haul it off. It's just rock. He's made millions of dollars on nothing but rock. Everything is valuable. Talk about land being valuable. You can go someplace and buy an acre of land for $100. Go another place, costs $15,000. Out here in the country, $15,000 an acre. How about an acre in central San Antonio? I'd like to own an acre right downtown on Houston Street. Just 1 acre, that'd suit me, Houston Street. You see, the value of things that we have is in relation to a lot of other things. You're of more value than many sparrows. You're of more value than many sparrows. Look at another passage. It's also in Matthew right there in chapter 12. In verse 12, he tells a story. He's getting ready to heal a man. And he tells a story, which of you, if you had one sheep and it fell in a ditch, would not on a Sunday go into that ditch and pull that sheep out? Even though you'd be breaking one of their laws, breaking one of their commandments. Well, the value of a sheep, your sheep, is more valuable than the breaking of a commandment that some man has set up. And so he says, this little statement here, verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Again, we're looking at the value of things. What's more valuable? What's less valuable? Well, you're of more value than many sparrows, and how much better is a man more valuable than a sheep? And he tells that man with withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And oh, it made him mad. He healed that man that day. You see, people's needs and their burdens and these things, they're valuable. The Bible tells us we're to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. You see, people's feelings and people's troubles, people's problems, they're valuable. You ever thought about a job, being able to have a job, how valuable that is? Are you working today? Praise the Lord. Are you out of work today? Then you know how valuable a job is, don't you? You don't really appreciate your job till you can't get a job. Then you might appreciate a job that you just sneered at. You may be griping and fussing and complaining about your job till you don't have a job. Then that job that you've been griping and complaining about, you think, that was a pretty good job. I didn't know how good a job that was. You might be complaining about your wife. Well, if she dies tomorrow in about a month or two, you're going to be telling me, you know, I didn't know how good a wife she was. You may be fussing about that husband of yours. Boy, are you just giving him old Billy. You know what? If he kicks the bucket this week, a couple of months, you're going to tell me what a great guy he was. And how much you miss him. But you were so tired of him being under your feet. And man, I don't know how in the world he retired. He's here at home all the time. I got to put him every day. I want him to go out and get a job. The value of things is relative to our thinking, to God, to the Word of God, to this life. Now, we make a lot of decisions in this life. We make decisions in this life concerning value, worth, what's important. You know, a lot of Christians make a lot of mistakes in valuing things in this life. I've seen people put their job above the Lord. And it looks like they made the right decision because they got money, they got a house, they got things. But then a few years down the line, they lose some really valuable things. Things more valuable than a job, more valuable than a house, more valuable than money that you can put in your pocket, more valuable than even that income that you think is so important. You and I need to value things or we're not going to be wise. This life as opposed to eternal life, there's no comparison. Amen. There's no comparison. And yet some of you sitting in this room right now, you're not saved. If you died right now, you're going to split hell wide open. You don't have to go to any judgment to get there. You've already been judged. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, and you've already been declared a sinner for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're in here and you're a sinner. You have not been saved. You haven't repented of your sins and had Christ come into your heart, forgive you. You go to hell right away. Only thing keeping you out of hell right now is a heartbeat, because your heart's still beating. You know, Johnny Cash died this week, supposed to have been a born-again Christian, whether he was or not, I don't know. He was a good friend of Billy Graham, visited with him different times. Maybe he was a Christian, I hope so. 71, it's expected. 71, you live past 71, old man.
Thank you.
You're lucky. Hey, man, you still got hair growing on your head and you're getting up every day? Praise God. But how about John Ritter with a wife and five kids? 50-something years old. You don't think about, well, he's not supposed to die. He looks healthy and strong. He's out there working and boom. Now, when it comes down to the time of your death, a whole lot of things that matter to you right now won't matter. Oh, they're important right now. My, how you put a great price upon them. In fact, you put the price of time upon them and money upon them, and you'll even sacrifice your family. You'll sacrifice your children. You'll sacrifice your marriage for things that aren't worth sacrificing anything for. Not when you count eternity. This life, eternal life. Let me say that the biggest decision you'll ever make is what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a very foolish person. Because you are going to die. And you might be lucky enough to live to 71 or 85 or 92 or 104. I'm not sure that's lucky.
That's right.
I got this cartoon. It shows these two old men in a nursing home sitting in a wheelchair. And one says to the other, you know, if we hadn't taken such good care of ourselves, we'd have missed all this. I'm not too sure just length of life is luck and blessing. But the value of things eternal is so much more than things temporal. The value of whether you go to heaven or to hell, that's the big decision. Oh, we make a lot of decisions. They are important decisions. They are valuable decisions. And you ought to make good decisions concerning your money, your job, your children, the clothes that you wear, what you do with your exercise, how you spend your time, the person you marry, the person you date. Whether you drink or don't drink, or smoke or don't smoke, or watch television or don't watch television, or go to certain shows or don't go to other shows. All these things are valuable, just like everything in this life has value. A certain amount of value. But in comparison to your eternal life, I woke up one day out in Roswell, New Mexico as a soldier. My buddy had died. And I said, I can die too. Until then, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Shoot, I wasn't worried about anything. I ain't going to die. I'm going to live to be an old man. And my buddy, 21, 22 years old, boob, he's dead. He's dead. Did the same thing I would have done. Took my truck and made the run. And he died. Then I began to think, wait a minute. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? Nothing else really matters than that. Right. Till you get that settled. Yeah. Till you've thought about the value of your soul. Nothing else really matters. How valuable are you? You're more valuable than many sparrows, and you're more valuable than the sheep. There's a passage in Luke 14:8. I'm sorry, 8:14. First mistake I ever made. Luke 8:14. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know, you can't live in this life without cares. You think, I want to be carefree. You're young. You think, boy, I'm going to live a carefree life. I am going to be carefree. I'm going to marry this lovely girl or this lovely boy, and we can live happily ever after. Never have any problems. Dream on. Just live on love as long as you can. Then somebody will have to wash the dishes. And wash the clothes. And a few other things. Cares, riches, troubles. You don't get through this life without cares, riches, troubles. And they are problems. They keep us awake at night. I don't know how many nights in my life. I'm sort of an insomniac. I get things on my mind. They don't go away. I will answer them the same way 500 times in the same night and still can't stop thinking about them. Drives me nuts. Cares, riches, and troubles. Everybody's got them. But what do you do with them, and how are you going to handle them, and what value do you place upon them? If you place too high a value on something that's not real valuable, you sure waste an awful lot of time on something that'll do you not much good, even if you get the right answer. But there are some things that are really valuable. As we were talking about the value of your eternal soul, where will you exist for all eternity? Because you will exist one place or the other, heaven or hell. There's no three places. There's no purgatory. You know what purgatory is? Pocketbook of the priest. That's purgatory. It's nothing in the Bible. There's nothing in there. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and that's the number one decision you need to make. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You can live your whole life, you can be a pretty good guy, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if He hasn't paid for your sins and saved your soul, you're going to split hell wide open. You don't stand a chance. There's a passage back in Job that I thought was interesting. Job 28, verse 17 and 18. And then verse 28. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Amen. Wisdom. That's not knowledge. That's wisdom. I know a lot of people with a lot of knowledge don't have much wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do with the knowledge that you have. And that's a rare thing. You can't buy it. It comes from God. Let me tell you something about it, though. In verse 28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. If you have a fear of God, you have the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, you're not very bright. According to the Bible, and it says it about four different times, if you don't fear God, you don't understand the situation. Who wouldn't fear someone with such power? He can do with you anything he wants to do with you. And if he gets on your wrong side, you don't stand a chance. And there's only one way to get to him, and that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through Mary, I'm sorry. I think Mary was a lovely lady, but she's not a mediator. Not through your preacher. He may be a fine man, but he's not a mediator. Not through your church. There is no church that can get you a doorway into heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Interesting thought. Then over in the Psalms, verse Chapter 17, verse 14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. Sometimes we think a lot of different things about this world and how it works. And the tragedies of war, accidents, sin, and problems, according to the Bible, that's the hand of God. Some things you can't do anything about. But notice what it says about them. From men of the world, which have their portion in this life. You know what men of the world have? Their portion in this life. You know what I don't want? I don't want that to be the only thing I've got, is my portion in this life. We got this life and we have eternal life. All of us have this life. All of us have these decisions. All of us have these opportunities. All of us have these blessings, some more than others. But I don't want that to be all. If all you get's what you got in this life, you lost out big time. Because this life's not the end. This life's just the preparation. The Bible speaks of eternal life. Jesus says in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Profit and loss? What are you profited? I don't know about you, but the little boy that sold me a paper this morning, he's looking for profit. He's not a very big kid. He's pretty streetwise. He's running out in front of those cars selling papers. You know, back in my day, we didn't protect kids as much, and the dumb ones died. Sort of like rats, you know. They send the dumb rats in to eat the poison. If he lives, okay, they'll go eat it. If he doesn't, well, you know. Boy, I tell you, that boy's got to be streetwise about on those streets. We grew up doing things. I don't know how we ever got grown. We did some dumb things. I look at some things I did now, though, man, I don't know how. What is a man profited? That boy's looking for profit. That car salesman down there at the Ford dealership, he's looking for profit. I had a friend of mine. He was a missionary. Willard Rowe. He owned a car dealership in North Carolina. He and his brother did, and he surrendered to be a missionary, went off the mission field for 30, 35 years. And he told me one time, he said, you know, said people, friends come up to me and say, I'm your friend. Yeah, okay, well, give me a deal. Don't make a profit on me. I'm your friend. He said, if I don't make a profit on my friends, who do I make a profit on? Huh? You got to make a profit. Sure, you go for the best deal you can get. All of us do that. But they got to make a profit or they're not in business next year to give you another car. You can give it away too cheaply and you don't have anything left. What is the profit? What is the profit if you gain certain things in this life, and you lose eternal life? What is the profit if you gain the whole world? Look at the comparison Jesus has made. Nobody gains the whole world. Bill Gates doesn't have the whole world. He's got a little bitty part of it. There's an awful lot of world left out there besides what Bill Gates has. And he's the richest man in the world. He got a lot more money than I can even imagine. I heard him say that Ted Turner said he was going to have to cut back on his giving because he'd lost 2/3 of his wealth. He only had $1 billion left. I can see walking up to a panhandler, you know, no, I can't give you 50 cents for a cup of coffee. I only got my last billion. But the truth of the matter is, if you had everything that Ted Turner had and went to hell, you'd be a fool. That's true. If you had everything that Bill Gates had and went to hell, you'd be a fool. You would have made a wrong choice. You would have chosen some things as valuable, and they weren't valuable because you were working from the perspective of this life and not eternal life. You got to get them straight. Look at Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. Talking about rich men. Notice what it said about them. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. What a passage. All your money can't buy you into heaven. You can't get a ticket into heaven with all your wealth. And by the way, all your wealth, it may work real good when you're having to work with lawyers in the courts. May work real rude. You got to get yourself out of trouble in some other circumstances. But you can't redeem your brother. You can't redeem his soul. You see, your money is not that valuable to God. God's got all the money he wants. And if he didn't, he'd just make some more. He doesn't have a problem. All the cattle on the hills are his. The silver and gold is mine, he says. You can't redeem your brother with all your wealth. You cannot buy his soul because it's a very precious price. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I just thought about how much money and time I've spent on junk. How much of the effort of my life has been wasted on junk? But you know, by the grace of God, 46 years ago, I got eternal life. And I've been aiming for a different direction. And some things that used to be very valuable to me are not valuable anymore. Because I got the perspective of eternal life. And when I compare the values of this life and the values of eternal life, I say, wow, it's just one choice. Now maybe you're a Christian and you've been too worried about the cares, pleasures, riches, troubles of this life. You down today? Chances are if you're down today, you're not down because of some great spiritual decision. You're down because of a care in this life. Something that costs money. Something's not working that you want working. Something's not happening you want happening. Something's not making you happy and you want to be happy. The problem with most of us is we let our joy all rest in the cares and pleasures and wealth, troubles of this life. And that's not where they ought to be.
Amen.
We got this life, and the Bible says quite a bit about this life, and men having this life as their portion. But it also talks about eternal life. A life with God, a life like God's, and the life of God. And that life is the valuable life. And that's the life you should choose. And that's where your joy should be. That way you can meet the world. You can meet the cares and the problems and the troubles. And you got a little better perspective on what's valuable and what's not valuable. I would rather my kids got an A spiritually and C's in school than to get A's in school and C's spiritually with God.
Right.
You got to make your choice. Every decision you make, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make a choice. Is it really worth my time? Is it really worth my money? Is it going to affect eternity anyway? Will it affect eternity at all? For anybody. You got this life, and you've got eternal life. My Christian friend, start reasoning and thinking about what you're worried about, what you're burdened about, and what you're living for. And if you're here without Christ, choose Christ. Amen. He's the Savior of the world. He died in your place. He'll save your soul today. Amen. You see, the redemption of your soul comes only through the blood of Christ. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you'll call on Him, He'll save your soul today. Amen. This life, eternal life. Let's sing number 249. This invitation is open if the Lord's spoken to your heart in any way.